Welcome in second hour, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rexrode sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Mark Howard in for Robbie Stanley. Elijah Campbell in for Michelle Knezovic. And I'd like to invite you to join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's LLS, Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Still talking Titans here, folks, and we're going to talk AFC picture. By the way, the Titans, I don't know what seed they are right now. I don't especially care. 1-3, whatever. They are tied for the best record, Mark, in the AFC. It's quite a crew. It's the Titans, it's the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Ravens all at 5-2. When we're starting to think, uh-oh, Lamar Jackson and that defense, and they've overcome the injuries, Cincinnati goes in there and absolutely just takes apart the Ravens in Baltimore. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, that's an interesting team. Then you also have the Bills and Chargers, by the way, both at 4-2. They both were off this week for their idle weeks, not their bye weeks, their idle weeks. Thank you. essentially, you could look at it like six teams right now all tied for the lead. And then there's not, you know, just about everybody else is sub 500. Which is really interesting, too. Now, the Cleveland Browns would be your next team, and I think that they're going to be there in the end at 4-3. But it is a wild, wide-open picture. The NFC, to me, is kind of clear. At least you got some separation from top teams. The AFC is going to be wild, and I just don't – I mean, again, we haven't mentioned the Chiefs, who are sitting there at 3-4, the Colts, who are sitting there at 3-4, and the Patriots maybe can get back into the discussion. It's an interesting deal. So where in that picture do you put the Tennessee Titans right now?
Well, to me, they got to win the AFC South probably to get in, even with the extra wild card. Because I just think you're going to have other teams right up there. And it's going to come down to tiebreakers. But the Titans are in the driver's seat right now, which makes Sunday's game so important. They beat the Colts. They suddenly have a three-game cushion. And a little breathing room, although you don't want to tell that to Vrabel. But, you know, the way they look right now with who they've beaten, they've got to be the favorite to win the AFC South.
Yeah, look, if they beat the Colts, they're going to be 6-2. And I would normally say at the halfway point, but it's a stupid 17-game season. But they'd be 6-2 at almost a halfway point. The Colts would be 3-5. You're talking about a three-game lead with a sweep of them. That would be awfully tough. And with the Titans' schedule getting lighter, maybe it's not good for the Titans. Their schedule is going to get lighter, but that would be a lot for the Colts. The Colts have to win this game.
And it's crazy because you look at Jacksonville and Houston. I mean, good grief. I mean, David Culley's an old friend of mine. I root for him. But when you're a 20-point underdog in the NFL, you are not good.
Yeah, again, guarantee games. Like it's again, yeah. it's like a college guarantee.
You know,
game.
We can joke that Ted Lasso is going to coach the Texans next year, or they're going to be relegated to the OVC or whatever. You know, Jacksonville looks like it's going to be better the second half of the season. You know, maybe not a world beater, but I think they're going to win three or four games. They've got some talent on that roster.
Yeah, yeah, I think the Texans are a strong contender here for the one. Speaking of 1-6, the Dolphins, 1-6, losing late to the Falcons. My gosh, that's easily the most disappointing team in the NFL. Maybe a team with a new QB soon.
Well, no,
that smoke is real.
Well, that smoke is real, but clear light of day thinking. If you're Miami, why would you make that deal when Deshaun Watson has no chance of playing this year? And maybe no chance of starting next year as their quarterback. So why would you make that deal if you know you can't use the guy, you know, for the last half of this year, maybe the beginning of next year? So nobody knows where that case is going. It's being slow walked as slowly as justice can possibly move, but nobody knows how this thing's going to end up. So it makes no sense. It's irresponsible to go out there and make a trade for a guy like that.
Well, I would agree, unless you get an incredible price and you are convinced that, which, and I think that they're close, that Tua just, it's awfully quick to be convinced, but this is what happens this league,
yeah,
right?
Tua, 13 starts, and they're ready to get rid of him. And I'll admit, I watched a lot of the England game last week against Jacksonville, but Tua was without his top three receivers. So it's hard, you know, it's hard to sit there and say he can't play, you know, if you put Curly Larry and Moe around him. So I don't know why all of a sudden he got bad this soon.
Now, it's amazing in this league how quickly quarterbacks are elevated and then dismissed. And he looks like maybe the latest example. I'm not convinced that he can't be a good QB in this league, but it's certainly not working. They're out of there. So yesterday, so at The Athletic, you know, sometimes we do these quick reaction things after games. You know, you write a column later and all that, but quick reaction thing. And so sometimes we have editors and they'll say, answer these questions. And one of the questions I got was, are the Titans a Super Bowl contender? And I mean, my answer was, I don't know how you could argue otherwise. I'm not saying I'm picking them to go to the Super Bowl, but I look around this conference, I think I'd probably still give the Bills the nod as the most complete team in the AFC. But, I mean, we did just see the Titans beat them. It wasn't fluky. It was a back-and-forth wild game where basically whoever gets the ball last is probably going to win, except they didn't because there was a goal line stand. I don't even think that's a question. Is it? Is it a question that
No.
The Titans are a contender for the Super Bowl?
No, I think they demonstrate that they can beat anybody. They can also lose to anybody, but they can beat anybody. And, you know, you look around, okay, you got the Bills, and then maybe the Ravens, and the Titans have shown in the past they can beat the Ravens. You know, you go beyond that, who else are you really afraid of?
I am afraid of me falling off the face of the earth on the camera that just fell off the glass. Man, see, this is where I wish we could flip the camera around and see Elijah's face, you know? Like the Elijah reaction to the camera hitting the ground. Apologies to anybody watching on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, if you got a Blair Witch Project bout of nausea there. So let's do this, Mark. Let's go through these teams. Buy, sell as a Super Bowl contender, a team that you could see going into January, winning multiple games, getting Super Bowl. Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, although getting hammered at Baltimore, to me was sort of a statement.
Baltimore just got hammered by Cincinnati, so how about
That's
the Cincinnati
true.
Bengals?
Yeah. I would have to say, yeah.
Man. I can't argue with you, but it's
they
just
are
wild.
Better than, they are better than you think.
Indianapolis Colts.
No.
No? You buy the Bengals, but not the Colts.
I just think that at the end of the day, Carson Wentz will keep them out of a Super Bowl.
Man, I thought he did some good things last night. Okay,
he did some good things, but he also does some bad things.
He does some. He has some turnovers in the red zone that are just inexplicable. But the way he ran around last night, I'm like, see, that's where he is a problem for people. Okay, Las Vegas Raiders.
No.
Okay. So interesting. So you're going yes on yay on the Bengals, no on the Raiders and Colts.
I think the Raiders are sort of a trendy wild card contender, but I don't think when you look at their roster top to bottom, they're going to be good enough to sustain it deep into the playoffs.
Cleveland Browns.
No.
No. See, I disagree on that. I actually think the Browns. Well, here's the thing. It comes down to Baker Mayfield's health.
Yeah.
And that's. Maybe that's going to be the thing. But I think their D, hey, your guy Jadeveon Clowney looks pretty good this year. Myles Garrett, their D has at times been overwhelming. They've got the pieces
if Baker
can play.
Been torched the last 2 weeks, though.
I'm still skeptical about Baker Mayfield.
So even if he's healthy, you're skeptical?
Yes.
Yeah. What Elijah, what they got towards the defense?
Man, Cardinals and Chiefs, yeah. I mean, they just moved the ball at will against that Browns defense. That was what kept them in a lot of these games.
Yeah. I mean, they've been erratic there. They've been erratic there. But I still think that if Baker – it's like Baker to me is – he's never going to be a great quarterback in this league. But, like, if Jimmy Garoppolo can be within a pass of winning a Super Bowl, you know, like Baker Mayfield can't? I mean, like Ryan Tannehill can't? Like, Kirk Cousins? That's kind of
– That's fair.
But a lot of things have to go up. But, again, so you're buying the Bengals. See, I really need, like, the Browns fan to hear this
segment. Because of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Burrow. Burrow is sneaky, maybe going to be a great quarterback in this league.
I don't think there's anything sneaky at all about it.
Well, but he's,
You got Ja'Marr Chase, and Mixon at running back gave them some balance yesterday. You know, they destroyed a pretty good defense.
They did. And I wondered about, are you sure you're going to draft his favorite receiver instead of giving him more protection? But tell you what, that's going
Panay
to be.
Sewell, you thought they were going to draft him. Yeah.
That's going to be a very good connection in the NFL for years to come. All right, we're going to switch gears next, get into the Vols and college football a little bit. 52-24, you told me that score before the game. I said, okay, that sounds about right, but the game didn't exactly play out there. We'll get into that next here on Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me invite you to listen to the MLB postseason on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, home to the best pizza in Nashville. Head to 312 Pizza Company to grab a bite of beer, watch some October baseball. Congrats, by the way, to all the Braves fans out there. I was with some Braves fans at a nice Halloween party Saturday night. By the way, I went as a portion of the Tennessee end zone.
Wow.
Yep. But I was very
Did you have a jar of mustard on you?
I had a jar of mustard. So my daughter taped a bunch of stuff. I bought a nice orange sweatshirt. There's a picture I don't think I'm going to put on social media. But it's been shared by my family a lot. I had a jar of mustard. And the party was at the house of some close friends of mine who are Tennessee alums. And, like, it's an orange, you know, a lot of Tennessee. So I thought they'd enjoy that. I had a little cigarette pack up here. I had a lot of water bottles. I put a little bit of soda in the water bottles to make them look like dip cups, right? I actually was – I'm not kidding that I was going to – I bought my orange sweatshirt at Walmart. I was going to buy a thong and put it on there too because apparently a thong was thrown on the field. And then I was like, I can't do it, man. Like, I can't come in this Walmart and buy a thong. I don't even know if Walmart sells thongs, but they sell, you know, underwear. So anyway, I chickened out on that, but yeah, that was it went well, except the tape got weak, and by the end I had like one beer can on my shoulder and the cigarette pack, like the French's mustard was gone. It all fell on the floor. So but anyway, it was a great success along with the Braves. I said the Braves are going to close this thing out. They closed it out. Braves Astros starts tomorrow. So get excited about that, and get excited or don't about the Vols, Mark Howard. I still see a lot more optimism than otherwise from Tennessee fans overall with this Josh Heupel debut. But, man, they had an opportunity down a touchdown, going into the fourth, making big plays, playing defensively. Again, they give up 52 in that game. I thought their defense was – I thought their defense deserved better given what they did at the beginning of the second half to give them a chance, and then it all fell apart, as things tend to do against that team and that program.
Still, they're down 24-17 in the third quarter. They have fourth and one from their own 47. And Heupel decides to let the play clock run out and take the delay of game instead of trying to draw them offside or trying to get the yard. I mean, to me, You're at Bryant Denny, and I know their defense had a good quarter, but still, you got to play aggressively. You got to go for it, and I just thought it was a shame. And they punted the ball away. Alabama drove down and scored and broke the game open and won by 28. Classic backdoor cover, by the way. If you
Oh, those Bama fans were so happy.
They were. They were.
Because there was no way they were covering.
A haze of cigar smoke there at the end. But I thought that that Heupel, you know, should have gone for it. In an otherwise, you know, great year for him, I think he sort of earned the trust of Tennessee, of a lot of Tennessee fans, because they've gone in there and competed against some teams that were better than them and hung in there. And, you know, they've got an exciting offense. They discovered something in Hendon Hooker. You know, obviously, he doesn't play last night, and Joe Milton plays. You know, it's a burial. But I just thought he should have gone for it on fourth down. But they made some big plays. They were ahead early. They did. They had Alabama on the ropes a little bit.
Yeah, look, I got to say, in the moment when they didn't go on fourth down, I was very 50-50 on it. I can't say I was sitting there screaming and saying, oh, you have to go there. It does remind me, you know, today we're praising Mike Vrabel and the Titans coaching as they certainly deserve. And I think Vrabel, you know, the big picture of Vrabel is very positive. He's a good coach in this league. I mean, he's proved that enough over his time. But I do think back to last year, an unaggressive moment from him that I think was easy to question. The Titans' defense, which had been bad all year, was really good against the Ravens in the playoff game. So he punted and trusted that defense to get the ball back, and you know the Ravens made him pay for that. And I think what happened with Heupel was he's watching his defense get stop after stop against that ridiculous offense to start the second half, and he's saying, you know what, we got momentum. So let's see. So Alabama, you got in the third, you got a three and out, 4 yards. You got a three and out, and then they did get a drive, you know, 10 plays, 47 for a field goal. But you'll take that. Three possessions, 3 points allowed, 51 yards allowed. So at that point, if you're Josh Heupel, you're like, okay, we're playing well. But can you really trust your defense against those guys, against Bryce Young and that offense? Who do you really trust? What is your bread and butter? It is your offense.
And their whole thing has been aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. You know, as it turns out, Hooker, you know, throws that bad interception.
Well, that was
he miscommunicated with Devontae Payton.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea if it was Payton's fault, but it was certainly a route.
Yeah.
Which you know what? Like, that's – and that offense, obviously, it's fast, 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 and it's so much quarterback, receiver communicating and seeing the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing, like, what, that's Hooker's second pick of the year, right? That doesn't happen more often. But that was a killer.
Still, yeah, you know, I got to give the Vols credit. They're not going to come up with a huge amount of wins. I still see them as likely 6-6. But they're fun to watch, man. They are. The Ole Miss game, this game, you know, you're not seeing you know, them get blown out. You know, things looking hopeless in the second quarter. And the other thing you're not seeing that we've seen way too much of, almost going back a decade, is bad quarterbacking. So, you know, Hooker has come in and provided some stability, and, you know, they're getting some production from that position.
Yeah, look, it's like they're 4-4 right now. I'm gonna go ahead and give them the two wins at the end. I was at Vanderbilt, Mississippi State Saturday, 45-6, and I don't think it's gonna get better. I mean, I think you got a team now as you advance into late October into November, a team that already had very little depth, little margin for error, has a talent disadvantage on a weekly basis. I mean, it's going to be tough for Vanderbilt. I think you also saw, like, they need Ken Sills back at quarterback.
Yes.
You know, Mike Wright was very good at South Carolina. There's just, you know, Mississippi State did a good job of making him do things he's not comfortable doing, and it didn't go well. So that's, like, I don't see Tennessee-Vanderbilt being a good game this year. Maybe Vanderbilt will prove me wrong, but I think that's going to be a blowout, frankly. I mean, Tennessee is playing at a certain level that I think they can go in after this week off, this idle week, and I think they can go in and beat Kentucky. I'm not saying they will, but I think they can. I think that That offense, I mean, Cedric Tillman, also a revelation. Now you have Tyon Evans and Jabari Small both back. It is a tough offense to deal with. Now, they didn't run the ball against Bama because there's a whole bunch of plays, if you watch that game closely Saturday, where it's just one guy who's unblockable or is so fast that he takes away a 12-yard run and turns it into a 1-yard run. That's the problem. You're playing a team so loaded. But that's not Kentucky. Kentucky's good, but that's not Kentucky.
Well, you know, playing Alabama, to me, especially at Bryant Denny, Alabama's like the house in Vegas. Just the longer it goes, the better chance you have of losing. And Tennessee, you know, they were treading water there for three quarters, but it just wasn't going to happen. And you know, hence that's why I thought they should have gone for it on fourth down. Yeah, Kentucky, I could see Kentucky, you know, just absolutely, you know, getting into a smash mouth game and beating Tennessee pretty easily. But the thing about the Vols, against just about everybody, they've been able to make some plays through the air, those shock plays that we haven't seen in so long. And that's what could make a game against Kentucky interesting.
I mean, look, I'm sitting there watching this game. They're winning early, and then they're right there. And I had a thought, like, Neyland Stadium, packed, sold out, rocking, Georgia, can they make that a game?
No.
I think Georgia's defense is probably going to bottle up this offense like they bottle up everything they've seen so far. Kentucky is a very interesting game, and I just think overall – you are seeing – look, this is the best quarterback play Tennessee's had since Josh Dobbs for sure, right? Yeah.
Georgia – by the way, Georgia's defensive line, you know, Tennessee needs the Mays boys back and fast against – if they expect to have, you know, even a prayer against Georgia. Otherwise, Georgia's D-line will devour Tennessee and Hooker will be running for his life.
Well, they may anyway. I mean, Jordan Davis, to me – he's on my Heisman.
He is, me too.
High on the list. But, yeah, so we'll see. But this is a good time for them to rest up. There's a lot you can take from that game, even though the final score turned. I mean, it's just like Alabama just sort of exploded there at the end, but not literally. Which, by the way, that's a rant coming up later. But coming up next, we're going to get into college football and – something that's a change that I thought was maybe good, and actually I have realized I hate it. Coming up next on Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, Tampa Bay Bucks, New Orleans Saints. Big NFC South rivalry. Kickoff set for 3:25 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in to Robbie and Rex Show. Mark Howard here for Robbie. Elijah Campbell in for Michelle Knezovic. And we're talking college football, we're talking Vols, but let's talk about a game you watched, Mark. I watched the end of this game. Shout out to Bruno Reagan, who had it on his phone in the Vanderbilt Stadium press box, watching some of these plays.
Former Vandy offensive lineman Bruno Reagan.
That's right. Yeah. Now on the media side of things. By the way, I got to throw this at you before we get into this. Okay, so I got into a big battle with Vandy Twitter, which doesn't happen too often. Like, Vandy Twitter is very, very chill, and it's reasonable, level-headed for the most part. But there are Vanderbilt fans, and look, there are fans of any sports team who believe this, but maybe more Vanderbilt fans than I realize who believe that, well, some, that there is, like, a conspiracy at the SEC, like, the bad calls are, like, it's an SEC mandate to keep them down. Now, Bruno brought up the point, because Bruno then got on Twitter and was like agreeing with them, and then later I'm like, well, thank you for not beating the crap out of me in the press box at least, you know, on this tape. But I got into a big back and forth with some Vanderbilt fans about this, and of course I think that's ridiculous. Now, I will ask you this, though, and Bruno brought this up and other people brought this up who were more reasonable in the discussion. The idea of a bias against Vanderbilt when there's a – this came about because there was a terrible replay overturn where they had a pick. I don't know how it got overturned. It was a bad call. And sometimes there are just inexplicable replay reviews and calls. But do you believe that there's a bias, like an unconscious bias in terms of, well, that guy plays for Vanderbilt must not be as good as that guy who plays for Florida, Alabama, whatever. So 50-50 ball or whatever, 50-50 call, PI, whatever, goes to the other team because they must be better. Do you buy that at all?
Maybe an unconscious bias, but I don't think they look at a replay and then go, kind of close, but it is Vandy, so we'll go against Vandy.
Yeah,
and that, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, and what you just said is absolutely what some people in the Vandy Twitter community were saying.
That's just ridiculous, and you know, I just think that doesn't serve the league very well. What cracks me up is if you're making this argument during football season, let me just tell you, your team's not even close. Not even close to being a bowl team. Yeah, South Carolina, the nice effort there. But South Carolina is terrible and at least has a chance to get mediocre faster than you. So I've been here for good years. I've been here for bad years. But, yeah, you know, I've heard that. And that it's weird how it happens, how it continues to live. And that, you know, that's all I can say to you. But I will tell you this. One of the years Watson Brown was here, it might have been his first year when they won one game. They won it on an offensive pass interference penalty against LSU that they would have never gotten. So
really? Well, I hope Vanderbilt fans who –
way back in like 86 or 87, but
– I hope Vandy Twitter, I hope you remember this one. No, yeah. The big example, which I agree – so here's the thing. I do think sometimes it gets a little fishy, like when – remember Kansas-Texas a few years ago?
Yeah.
Mark Mangino going off, and it's like Texas – it looked like protecting Texas. Or Earl Bennett, the celebration penalty at Florida,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I remember that. And
terrible.
That was ridiculous.
Terrible. No question. So is that just a terrible call? Is that Florida? I mean, look, the idea of protecting your top teams or like a team that's in line to get you that playoff money or something, okay, fine. That – I can buy. I mean, it's worth discussing when things like that happen that are crazy. But the idea that the SEC actively wants Vanderbilt to stink, you know, come on.
Listen, I think there's a big difference between ineptitude and just corruption. And I think you can chalk it up more to ineptitude than anything else. You see a lot of screwed up calls. And those guys get graded. And those referee groups – you know, end up having to work inferior games or get taken off of games if they screw up calls. So they may not tell you, but there is some justice for the aggrieved in those situations.
And by the way, I'll say it every week, every day, college sports has more money than you could possibly count. And you still don't have full-time officials who don't have to travel all over the place and make $1,500 a game. And you think, and in an era when gambling is absolutely everywhere, you're not going to invest in better officiating. It's a joke. It's a crime in sports. But anyway, let's go to another thing that we don't like about college sports. I hate the overtime rule now. And I didn't really think much of it until this Penn State Illinois situation. Man, I hate it.
Joe,
it's not football.
Joe, it was an assault on the eyes to sit there and watch Illinois and Penn State not able to make a two-point conversion six times because the first two times, you know, you could go for touchdowns or whatever, and they kick field goals. Then six more times, neither team could get in the end zone on a two-point play. Till finally Illinois did and Penn State didn't. And James Franklin, you know, there's nothing he could say after the game except, you know, we had our chances. But that's the kind of game that gets coaches fired.
Well.
He's not going to get fired.
No.
But.
And I think he was already bound for L.A., and I think that's where he's going to be next year.
No.
But we'll see. But talking to Steve Lehman in the Nissan Stadium press box yesterday, News Channel 5, friend of the show also, a very enthusiastic Illinois grad. And he brought up a good point. Like, I mean, Illinois, I mean, their offense, obviously, they got Brett Bielema now, big win for him. But, I mean, it's a running offense, and they ran all over Penn State. But when it's all two-point plays, like, that's basically out, right? Like, you're probably not going to run the ball from the three. One of the conversions did happen. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it's 1-2-point play. It's not your offense anymore. It's not really football anymore. And frankly, if it's just going to go forever like this anyway, I mean, how much time did you save? I like just like the LSU Texas A&M from a few years ago. It went ridiculously long, but was that not fun?
Yeah, I mean, at least they screwed. But they're worried about, you know, the players, you know, playing more reps
player
and
safety.
Getting hurt and all this. All I can say is getting Sean Clifford back for Penn State made little or no difference in their offense.
Which stuns me.
And then they tried the Philly special, you know, the gadget play where you end up throwing to the quarterback, and Clifford was wide open. He could have run from there to here without unmolested, and he dropped the ball. And it was just stuff like that. It was amazingly inept, especially on the Penn State side, because they're supposed to be the better team.
Yeah. So, I thought that they were maybe the challenger. And look, they get Ohio State this week, so we'll see. Ohio State looks like Ohio State now.
Yeah.
Because Indiana's not garbage. And Ohio State just went in
there.
They
could have scored 80 on Indiana.
I mean, that's a solid program. Yeah. Tom Allen's done a really good job. Yeah. They got run out of their own place.
They had 44 at halftime on the road. They're 44-7 at halftime.
Yeah, they seem to have figured it out. So I think they're probably going to rip through all these teams, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, and probably be a playoff team. Meantime, Cincinnati, some people are not going to be impressed with that win. I don't care. Triple option team, you got to win. Get out of there, get a win. Oklahoma, can we relegate them? I know they're undefeated, but can we do something to keep them out of the playoff?
Defensive juggernaut Kansas almost shuts them out in the first half.
By the way, Lance Leopold.
It was 10-0 at halftime.
Can't remember if they scored at the end of it or not, yeah. But yeah, it was can't score against Kansas. That's pretty rough.
Well, yeah, and then Kansas says, everyone in town, please come. You can come in for free. Please come into the stadium. And they did. They darn near filled the place with people just, okay, I'll come in and cheer for them. And then Oklahoma pulls it out. But, I mean, that's got to be the worst playoff team if they get in. Like, Cincinnati is, to me, measurably better than Oklahoma.
Well,
Oklahoma's in position to get in the playoff.
I got news for you. Oklahoma wins that game. A play that you want to talk about the refs, you know, going against the inferior team. You know, Caleb Williams grabbed the ball out of his teammate's hands, one of the running backs, who was being pushed backward, whose forward progress appeared to be stopped.
Yes.
And got a first down in a key series. Otherwise, Kansas might have won that game.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, how can you give them that first down? But they did.
More conspiracy. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Also, keep coming on the text line driven by WellesleyConnelly.com. I am sorry. I am not keeping up well with the text line today. We will catch up on that soon. But coming up next, a nice brief Rex rant for you here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 125 The Game. Welcome back. So do you like Creed, Elijah? You can be honest with me.
Absolutely not. But I'm here for the bit. I think the Creed jokes are funnier than their music is good.
Yeah. I didn't figure you liked Creed, so God, that really gets the blood flowing. Hey, before I get into this though, Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7, featuring Preds players, former players, other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live. And now join us now for the Rex rant, which so I'm coming in today, guys. I'm coming in actually to the Vanderbilt game. And I really feel bad that I didn't catch who said this, but it was an ESPN national show talking to NFL, okay? And every once in a while this comes up and I, you know, shake my fist at a cloud and yell and we move on. But I think it's worth mentioning, okay? So, I think she worked for the NFL Network, and I'd like to give her credit for this, but I don't remember her name. But listen, this is what she said: Derrick Henry is literally carrying the Titans on his back. No, if he were literally carrying the Titans on his back, then the players on the Titans would literally pile onto his back and possibly kill him. Okay? He's not literally carrying the Titans on his back. I heard the Titans literally destroyed the Chiefs. No, the Chiefs actually still live and breathe in the world. They did not get destroyed. A.J. Brown did not literally explode for 133 yards. Now, he may have literally exploded in other ways in the past week with the Chipotle Rhea. Literally, man. It means literally. Why does no one ever use the term figuratively?
It's a great question.
I mean, that's all you have to do. Derrick Henry is figuratively carrying the Titans on his back. That's just fine. That's what he is. Figuratively speaking, that's what he is doing. I hear this from my kids. I'm literally starving to death. No, you are not. You ate 3 hours ago. You may be hungry. You may be hangry. I promise you, we have our, you know, we have our days as parents. Not always. We're not perfect. But I promise you, you're not literally starving to death. Or you change the channel. You're literally killing me right now. No, I'm not. I'm not actually murdering you. Please stop using literally.
So that can be arranged, yeah.
Joe Rexro, no fan of hyperbole.
Or it's like you hear a story about so-and-so being shot by a disgruntled worker. Does that make us gruntled workers because we're happy?
I'm gruntled today. Feeling good. I'm gruntled. But, like, really, like, figuratively, why does that word – I mean, those two words
– it's the place emphasis, I guess, on what they did.
Yeah, like, but as I grew up learning, like, in English class, those were always, like, you know, you'd have exercises like, what's literal and what's figurative, right? No one ever says figuratively. But everything is literally. It's not literally unless it's literal. That's all I've got. That's my Rex rant. So thank you for indulging.
Nicely
and
done.
Also, by the way, it's not a freaking bye week. It's an idle week or an off week. So
why can't it be a bye week?
Okay, we'll do this. Because a bye is something in a tournament. A bye is I had a bye to the second round.
Okay.
A bye is a bracket. Now, Robbie found one of these online dictionaries says it, like it's acceptable now. But this is just because we've butchered we've literally killed the English language so much that, you know, you just let things go and you let things erode. So now because everybody calls it a bye week, so Merriam-Webster or whatever says, yeah, that also can mean an off week. No, a bye is something that you get in a tournament in a bracket. You're idle. What's wrong with idle? What's wrong with the word idle?
Because you can't have weeks like this week where there are the most teams on byes, and you can't be Bye-Mageddon. Idle-Mageddon doesn't sound cool. It was Bye-Mageddon this week.
Bye-Mageddon?
Yeah. We set a record for most teams on bye weeks this week because of the 17-game season. So, in fantasy football circles, if you survived Bye-Mageddon, that means you won this week.
Interesting. See, I had no idea.
I had like 80% of like all my teams out.
Okay. Well, actually, yeah, one of my – is it? Maybe the radio team. I had all my good players. I was like, yeah, there's no point in even playing this week. What about Off-Mageddon? Why couldn't it have been Off-Mageddon? That flows. Off week.
Nah.
Yeah, but see, again, everyone just accepted this, that it's a bye week. It's not a bye week. All right. Anyway, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, we have a lot of stuff to get to. And thank you, Will from Nashville. Yes, Joe, all caps. I agree. Massive pet peeve of mine. I talk about this all the time. Thank you, Will from Nash. Someone else just texted, this falls under the improper usage of I could care less. Thank you. My gosh. Oh, that's an all-timer. I could care less. So you care. I could care less. Oh, okay, so it's very important to you. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. I need to stop. But, you know, a lot of things like that. Also, another thing with this is more writing. Okay, this is a big one for me. As a former copy editor, headline writer, or even, you know, in stories you'll see this. You'll see, you know, Vanderbilt's freshman receivers had a good day. Freshmen, okay? It's fresh man receivers. You understand? You with me?
Yeah.
So if they were second-year players, you wouldn't say Vanderbilt's sophomores receivers. Freshman is an adjective in that sentence. I'm getting through. I'm getting a lot of issues out today. So anyway, if you have more of those, hit us up on the text line. We also have some non-English language.
Hey, I was listening.
Here.
I was listening to one of the athletics podcasts with writers who use the English language, you know, every day. And somebody used irregardless.
Oh.
They wanted to reach through the radio to smack them.
Oh, who?
No such word.
Who?
I forgot who it was.
You got to think of it. I mean, I'll slack them right now. I'll send a Slack message to them right now. Irregardless.
I can't remember who it was.
You know another one that...
I'm thinking maybe Ari Wasserman, but I can't say for sure.
You know what? I bet you it was Ari. Oh, Ari. I love Ari, but man, does he butcher some English sometimes. Ari. If it wasn't Ari, then whatever. It's fine. I'm going to find out. Irregardless. You know, another one, it's not as frequent, but I've heard it a lot in my life, and it's like, how does this even happen? Supposedly. Have you not heard this?
I've never heard that one.
No?
Not from anyone over the age of five.
Maybe. Well, maybe this is like a Michigan thing then. Supposedly. Instead of supposedly. I don't know. Dennis on the text line says college football overtime is awful. Football training was, again, like how many years have, I know I've been saying, a lot of other people are saying, man, I wish the NFL would adopt the college overtime. I still would. Like the start from the 25, give each team a chance. It's been some amazing extra sessions and games and moments, right? But the two-point thing, it doesn't work, man. You got to get rid of that. You got to get rid of the 2-point thing. Ty says using defiantly instead of definitely. I don't seen that one too much. Well, of course, Mark from Clarksville, we're, but they're there and there. You also got the you're an idiot, you know, Y-O-U-R without the apostrophe R-E, right? Exasperated for exacerbated. That's, we're getting some obscure stuff here. Maddie H says, hashtag Rex word crimes. Honestly, I literally could care less. Just don't go there, T-H-E-I-R. Well played, Maddie H. Well played, Maddie H. You know, it's just, look, just literally. If you say literally, then it actually means literally. I hate when someone says, they say. Who the heck is they? I probably do that sometimes, right?
Hey, one of my former radio partner, who did play for the Titans, everybody knows who it is, talked about throwing a Mazel Tov cocktail.
Come on!
I'm not kidding you.
A Mazel Tov cocktail. Oh, my goodness.
Was that a celebratory cocktail, apparently?
Or you yell, Molotov!
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Kyle Tucker texted me. He says, supposedly is a bad one I hear a lot. Could care less sense of, yeah, could care less is a very common one. Big time. So, yeah. All right. So, you got more? Hit us up on the text line. More about sports, too. And speaking of that, we're going to have Corey Curtis coming up next here on Robbie and Rex, ESPN 102.5 The Game.